Ephesians chapter 6, and we will read the first 9 verses, and we'll be looking at verses 5 through 9 in particular, as it speaks to us regarding, as the sermon title says, submitting to one another in the workplace. Before we read this portion, let's ask the Lord's blessing upon the reading and teaching of His Word. Let's pray together. Great God, our Father, we thank You by Your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, through the continued ongoing work of the Holy Spirit, that we together might have hearing ears, understanding hearts, that while these are verses that we have perhaps read many times in the past and have sought to apply in varying degrees, Lord, might it be that Your Word would live in our hearts, that we might grow in grace today and always, knowing You, loving You, and serving You more and more. To this end, we ask Your blessing upon my words as pastor, as teacher, upon the Word which we will read and will endeavor to understand and apply. We ask this all and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So Ephesians chapter 6 verse 1, hear the word of God. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. And you masters, do the same things to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with Him. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As we begin our study of these verses in Ephesians chapter 6, I think it's important that we realize that the terminology that we read here is maybe a little bit uncomfortable in our day and age. Right? We hear about bond servants. We hear about masters. And of course, on a certain sense, these are institutions which in some ways are part of the past. And yet what I'm confident in as we look at this in the workplace is what we're talking about is essentially similar to the relationships that exist between employees and employers. Are there some differences? Sure. But the principles that carry through apply to that situation as it does to every other. And so as this passage begins, bond servants. A bond servant isn't quite the same as a slave. It's similar, but it's different. It's someone who is committed to care and to work for another person. And so as we we'll look at these verses this morning and the various exhortations that are included, we will see that this principle which we've been applying, that of mutual submission or submitting to one another in marriage, in the home and family, in the workplace, really is echoing back to the verse that sets this discussion off, chapter 5, verse 21, where Paul had just gone through these exhortations for how, call it the New Testament ethic, call it the about how we are to see ourselves in relationship to God and other men and all of these things, and we are called to be wise. Then verse 21 says, submitting to one another in the fear of God. And so what I've tried to show is that in the marriage relationship, when we talk about submission, we're not just talking about the submission of the wife to the husband. That is in the context of our joint submission to Almighty God. And so, yeah, is that a principle? Sure. And it takes place in a context, in the midst of a relationship, and all of these things, certainly. And yet the broader discussion is, just as the wife is called to submit herself to her husband, so the husband is called to submit himself to God's design and God's purpose for husbands as fathers and so on. And we saw the same thing for children. So does the fifth commandment just require that children honor and obey their parents? Well, it does do that, and you young people, I'm looking at this little section here probably more than the rest of us, but yeah, that is something that it says. But you know what? But that submission takes place in the context of a mom and a dad who are learning to submit to the word and the will of God, ordering their lives and ordering the lives of their children in accordance to divine truth. And it's the same thing here as we come to our section this morning with bondservants and masters. Do bondservants have to listen and submit to their masters or their employers? Yeah, they do. They want to keep their job anyway, right? But the law of God, the word of God also speaks, just like it did to the husbands or to the fathers, don't provoke your children. So also does this command come to employers or to masters and say, you better be good masters. You better be those who are hearing and following the design that God has appointed for you to carry out your task and to fulfill your work. And so it is that as we enter this discussion, we will see the need for this exhortation. We'll see the assumptions of this exhortation. And then thirdly, the promise appended to this exhortation. And it's worth noting as well that if you, in Sunday school class, I put a quote in there from the Westminster Larger Catechism about how the law is to be regarded. And you might grab a copy if you didn't make it to that class. I think it's a fairly helpful description of what is law and why and how is it to be followed. But in the same Westminster Larger Catechism, it has, when it gets to the fifth commandment, it talks about inferiors and superiors. And we think, oh, I'm not inferior. Well, historically, that meant something other. It means somebody else is your boss. Somebody else is telling you what to do. And so, are there responsibilities of those who are under authority? Yes. Just as there are responsibilities of those who are in that position of authority and are called to give instructions. And so, the need for this exhortation is clear in that it is a pretty major part of life. And I don't know if I said this from the pulpit or not, but in conversation, Christianity is made for the real world. It doesn't have this imaginary fairyland description, and we all live happily ever after. Well, that future anticipation of life in the world to come is there. But while we are living on earth, where we have trials, we have difficulties, we have to endure and get through real difficulties that we face in this life. And so the need for an exhortation that comes to employees, comes to bondservants, and instructs them to be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in sincerity of heart as to Christ, recognizes that that's a command that we need to hear. And so when we are told to be obedient, why do we need to be told to be obedient? Because we're often contrary. We would often not do what we're told. And of course, it is that realization that the Spirit, that God, that His Word comes to us and addresses us right at the heart of the issue. Be obedient to your masters according to the flesh, in order so that that the word of the Lord might be honored. And to do so, not merely externally, but look at how it's worded there. With fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ. Naturally, not that easy. There's something about our hearts. There's something about the way we think that is pretty hard to do what somebody else says. Probably nowhere more clear than in the family structure. Mom and dad say, do thus and thus. We learn to obey that, right? Because of the hand of discipline. When an older brother or sister tells us to do something, how do we often respond? Not so much. That's right. That's the inclination of our hearts, being brought to bear, being laid open. That's how we think. That's how we feel. And of course, the challenge of the Word of God is not simply to leave us as we are, but rather it's a check. It's a stop, right? It's that which would keep us in the way that we should go. And so even though the tendencies of our heart is not to obey naturally, or it's not our inclination, it is actually our duty. And sometimes when there are our Christian duties, we have to do what we know is right, whether we feel like it or not. Well, I better do it. And not only that, the scripture now says, don't only just do it, but do it with a thankful heart. Do it happily. You know, going through the garbage, no, I don't want to empty the garbage. Okay. And we stop off and do this or that, right? Not the way we're supposed to do things. Not with resisting the will of God, not by not wanting to do it, but recognizing, this is my duty and this is what I'm going to do because I believe this is what God expects of me. If you want to think about this in terms of the golden rule is what? Do unto others as you want them to do unto you, right? So if you think about that in terms of the relationship between employer and employee, just ask yourself, what kind of employee would I want to have? Would you want an employee that just works really hard while you're watching him or while you're standing next to him? But the minute you go around the corner, he sits down and puts his feet up and, you know, starts playing around on his phone. Is that the kind of employee you want? No, nobody wants that kind of employee. Point? Don't be that kind of employee, right? Instead, be zealous, be devoted, be sincere, be faithful. And the flip side is, you know, we're talking about in masters and slaves. Well, what kind of boss would you want to have if you were, the employee? Well, you read through the list here, and that's the one I want. Well, not one who is berates and, you know, has a big mouth, is verbally abusive. No. You would want a boss that would encourage you and would treat you honestly and fairly, responsively. And so the point is, be that kind of boss. Be that kind of employee, as you know, that which is the will of the Lord. Our second point, the assumption of this exhortation is not only that we don't naturally obey, but we often don't want to. We don't want to do what is right. And you know, I think as human beings, we probably are, some are better than others, but we are all pretty good at making excuses. You know, I'll do that later. You know, I think of when Maggie was home. She's not here, so I can talk about her, right? Well, sweep the floor, Julie would say to Maggie. I'll do it later, right? And later is all of a sudden, did you sweep the floor? Oh, no, I forgot. You know, those things, what's the solution? Almost always the solution is to do what needs to be done, promptly, soon, as it were. Just look on here, verse 6. Obey, be obedient to those who are your masters, verse 5, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bond servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. What does that assume about our response to God, about our desire, the desire of our hearts, about how we hope to live and grow before Him? It assumes that that's the desire of our hearts, doesn't it? It says that, and now not only is it assuming that, it's saying now, just as you're trying to please God, just as you're trying to live a holy and pure life of gratitude and thanksgiving to God, be that way in the workplace too. Don't just be men pleasers. Be God pleasers, right? Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. So the tendencies of the human heart is not to do what we should, not to do what we should the way that we should. And lastly, it's a tendency that we are disinclined to regard and to live and to do by that which is pleasing to the Lord. And don't think that the masters or the employers are off the hook here. Because look at verse 9. And you masters do the same things to them. That is to say, you're a boss. Serve them. Be as you should, because you also serve. You also live before Christ, doing service to the Lord and not to men. Giving up threatening. Call it verbal abuse. Right? Giving up threatening. Knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. You're your master in heaven? Who is that anyway? Who's your great employer? But God himself. Right? He is our ultimate master. And he's not impressed when we try to act one way when we're another way. Right? And so the call, the warning, is that whether we're the employer or the employee, we are to live and to do as we believe is pleasing and acceptable in the Lord's sight. When it says don't, there is no partiality with him. What is partiality? I think in a word, it's favorites. It's not treating others equally or fairly. God doesn't think white people are better than black people. He doesn't think that one ethnic or one style of hair or appearance is better than any other. There's no partiality with God. God's word, God's truth, is that which will be and will be the measure of everyone. And so the duty of us, for us as workers, both in the kingdom of God and in our respective roles and relationships with others, is to serve the Lord with zeal and desire, to seek to honor Him, to seek to do for Him that which He requires. And what is the promise of this exhortation? Well, all that you do. I mean, in truth, all that you think and say are observed and known by God. And He will give you what you deserve. He will satisfy the cause of justice. He will provide you with all that is needful. our lives are lived under the watchful eye, under the watchful care of God, who knows and is with us and watching over us. And that's, of course, what this is teaching, right? Doing the will of God from the heart, the last part of verse 6. Verse 7, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. And then listen to verse 8. Knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is slave or free. Isn't that amazing? God's grace is sufficient. God's mercy will prevail. That as we dedicate ourselves to pleasing the Lord in the big things and the little things, we can rest assured that nothing is wasted, nothing is lost. One psalm, I think it's Psalm 55, maybe Psalm 56, there's this peculiar verse. It says that the Lord keeps our tears in a bottle. So look at that verse, I mean, it's there. What does it mean? But that the Lord is attentive to the brokenhearted. The Lord is mindful of those who draw near to Him. He loves us. You know, in fact, with our studying the first commandment, part of our conviction about God is that He is going to work all things for our good. He loves us and cares for us and will provide for us in all things, in and throughout the course of our lives. The second promise is that we are all servants of Christ. And ultimately it matters most. Not what others think, not what our employees think, but ultimately it matters most what God thinks. And God is paying attention to how we make our beds, to how we bring out the trash, to how we sweep the floor, to how, what is the attitude in our hearts? Is it a thankful service, or is it of resentment? Why me? When somebody else could be doing this? Well, the better question is, why not you? Why not help and contribute in this way? Well, we'll wrap this up with these four conclusions. First, Christianity is for the real world. Christianity, as that is imbibed and revealed in the Word of God, understands our hearts. It knows what we need. It knows our tendencies. And boom, addresses them. You know, I think of this in the ways that, you know, we looked at husbands and wives earlier. A number of the commands that are given to the wife or to the husband are justified and tendered. Well, because, you know, God made you differently. This is what you're here for. And this is what God wants from you. Secondly, Christianity is not just interested in what we do on Sundays or what we do, what we sound like and appear to be before others. If that was the case, why would it care what we're doing on Monday through Saturday? Right? God is interested in all of our lives, in every part, in every dimension. And so He says, do what you do to the glory of God. Do what you do unto the Lord and not unto men. Number three, our response to the commands of God are quite telling of the spiritual condition of our hearts. To hear how we are to listen and what we are to do is contrary to the natural man, of the natural heart of the natural man. However, it is a wonderful evidence that God's grace is working within us when we are hearing and heeding the Word of God. Because what are we doing? We're saying, well, I believe in God. I believe in His truth. I believe in His directions and commands enough to do what He says. And I think that's a pretty practical outcome for how we are living within the grace and by the Spirit of Christ. And then lastly, it's kind of a repeat of one thing I said earlier, is there's no partiality with God. He is the measure of fairness. He is the measure of integrity. And of course, we are going to be held accountable by Him. We are told not to think higher of ourselves than we ought. We are told not to think less of others than we do of ourselves. Why? Because we are all fellow citizens. We are all co-heirs. We are all in relationship one to another and before Almighty God. So might the Lord be pleased to encourage each of us, whether as children or as parents, whether as employees or employers, that in every relationship, even how we do our housework at home, might it be with the right heart and the right attitude, that we are doing all of these things as unto the Lord and not unto men. Amen. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this time to gather. We pray that as we are an audience, we are a congregation composed of those who are younger and older. Well, Lord, might we together give a proper response and respect to you and to your word, and might it be directional in terms of how we will live our lives. We ask and pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.